Mark chapter 9. I want to speak to you a little bit about the kingdom of God. I've spoken about it before, but I want to make it clear to everyone here, especially those who are new. It's an expression that comes many hundred times, many times anyway, in the scriptures. And here in Mark 9:1, Jesus said some amazing words to people who were standing there in front of him. He said, "Truly I say to you." Why does he say truly? Because he knew some people wouldn't believe it. "Some of those who are standing here right now will not taste death." That means they will not die until they see the kingdom of God coming with power. Now, many Christians have tried to interpret that verse and say, well, the kingdom of God is still to come. Jesus hasn't come. So what does that verse mean? Maybe he's talking about spiritual death. You think all those people standing there were doing all that analysis? No. They were simple Jewish people, and they heard Jesus say, "Some of you standing here will not die till the kingdom of God comes with power." If you were standing there, what would you believe? They'd say, "Great, I'm not going to die. Maybe some here will die, some of the older people, but I won't die till I see the kingdom of God come." That's exactly the meaning. That's how I would understand it. And Jesus wasn't talking in riddles and parables. "Some of you will not die until you see the kingdom of God come with power." I believe it. I believe a number of people who were listening to Jesus at that time did not die till they saw the kingdom of God come with power. And we know that none of them are living today. They all died long ago. So what did this kingdom of God coming with power mean? It does not refer to that day when Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom on earth and the whole earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord and the kingdom of God will cover the whole earth. It's not referring to that day. It must be something else. See, kingdom is a word which is in the first century. Every country was a kingdom because every country had a king. Today the kingdoms in the world are just a few. Most countries in the world don't have a king. So the word today is government. We don't say the kingdom of India, the government of India. So it is the government of God. When the Bible says seek the kingdom of God first, I used to think for years that that meant missionary work or preaching the gospel. But when I understood that kingdom today means government, that means I must have the government of God in my life. That means I must let God govern my life. Kingdom of God and His righteousness. That means when I work, whether I'm at home, I must let the principles of God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, run everything in my life. If you go to work, in the midst of so many unbelievers in your office or factory, you are under the government of God. You do things in a different way. You don't fight or quarrel and stand on people's shoulders, push them down to get a promotion. No. You don't do all that. You live by the principles of God's kingdom. You're upright. You won't tell lies. You won't cheat. You won't try to make money in wrong ways. You don't have any black money. Everything is white. You're upright. You're clear about everything in your life. Because God is ruling and controlling your life. Not only outwardly, but even in your thoughts. This is the government of God. When it says the government of God coming with power. And when I hear that word power, I'm reminded of Acts 1. Power. In Acts 1, Jesus said, Acts 1 and verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come." And earlier than that, after the resurrection, Acts 1 verse 3, "He presented himself alive after his suffering on the cross. By many convincing proofs, and appeared to his disciples for 40 days And what did he speak in those 40 days? The government of God. That was his subject. 40 days telling them about the kingdom or the government of God. And then he said, now that I've told you for 40 days about the government of God, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for what the Father has promised. What is that? The power. Verse 8, that will come upon you. The kingdom of God coming with power. So you see the connection. So the kingdom of God came with power onto this earth on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit filled those 120 waiting people. And the external manifestations of wind and fire were only a little indication of something that was happening in the hearts of these 120. The government of God came upon them. All their differences and fighting with each other disappeared. They were like 120 pieces of iron, all separate pieces of iron, put in the furnace and came out as one solid piece of iron. That is the church. When the fire of God melts our individual ambitions and desires and aims and makes us one. And Christ is the head. It's interesting, if you turn back in Matthew chapter 3, you know, John the Baptist was the one who came as a forerunner for Christ. And God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way. You know, when they asked him, are you the Messiah? He said, no, I'm not the Messiah. Verse 3, Matthew 3:3, I am the one referred to in Isaiah the prophet, who said, someone who is preaching, make ready the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. I have come to prepare the way for someone greater than me who is coming, that is Jesus Christ. And if you accept me, I've just come to prepare the road for the Messiah to come walk into your lives. And Israel rejected him. A lot of people like to listen to him. We read about Herod in Mark 6 and verse 20. Herod liked to listen to John the Baptist. Herod enjoyed listening to him, the last part of Mark 6:20. He enjoyed listening to John the Baptist. He enjoyed listening to this fiery preacher who says, turn from your sins, make the path straight, make all the crooked places straight, and bring the mountains down and lift the valleys up. Make the rough places smooth. And Herod said, wow, he's not like these boring Pharisees. It's good to listen to this guy. Did it change him? No. Because two verses later, it says, in verse 22, when Salome, the daughter of Herodias, came in a skimpy, thin dress and danced seductively, she pleased Herod too. You see how Herod could listen to John the Baptist in the morning and watch this filthy dance in the evening, and both he enjoyed it, just like people who come and listen to Zach Poonen and a meeting or in the TV or in the internet, and then in the evening they are watching some filthy movie. Enjoy both. It's happening. Is it happening to you? That you can enjoy this message and then you can enjoy some filthy thing on computers or television? You're like Herod. You may not know it. I'm not excited when people say, Brother Zach, I just enjoy your messages. I remember Mark 6:20. And I also remember Mark 6:22. So I'm not excited. Because I say, I want to know what he did after that. I know what Herod did after that. But I'll give you another example of a man who enjoyed John the Baptist. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. John 1, and verse 35. This is again John the Baptist. John was standing with two of his disciples and he was preaching. And he looked at Jesus as Jesus walked and said, "There, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard John the Baptist speak and they followed Jesus. You know, this is a wonderful verse for me. I don't know whether I live till Jesus comes. I want to, like all of you. But my times are in God's hands. He has numbered my days. He wrote that in a book before I was born. So I don't know. But if the Lord calls me home before He comes. Now, I don't want any of you to get disturbed. I'm not sick or anything. I'm just telling you what I've believed for the last 50 years. If the Lord calls me home before He comes, this is what I want written on my tombstone. They heard Him speak and they followed Jesus. What beautiful words. They heard Him speak and they did not follow Him. They followed Jesus. That's John the Baptist. You don't have to be a preacher like me. You talk to people, don't you? If it can be said about you, they heard her speak and they followed Jesus. What a wonderful thing. Is there anything better than that?